Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Steel Nation Radio, brought to you by Total Sports Enterprises. I'm Mike Pelaya of SteelNationAssociation.com, where we cover the Steelers 24-7 while bringing you, the Steeler fans, together in an effort to raise money for Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. Visit the site, read the articles, listen to our podcasts, join the club, buy a shirt, help us help the kids. You can also find my work on SteelCityUnderground.com, where there are plenty of great columnists who cover the Steelers from every angle possible, along with many other Steelers-related articles about the AFC North and other things that impact our beloved black and gold. Now, I'm going to get right into it. The Steelers are coming off of one of the most exciting victories we've seen in a long time, another 500-yard performance out of Big Ben, his third of his career, which is now the most in NFL history. And, I mean, what can you say about the Killer Bees? And that includes Boswell at this point. They are on fire. On fire. Ben with the 500-plus yards. AB going over 200. Le'Veon Bell with just a ho-hum 100-plus yard game. And Boswell kicking the game-winning field goal with under a minute to go. What's new? They are legit. They're back. And the offense is steamrolling. I expect more of that firepower this week against New England, which we'll talk about shortly, and on down the stretch and into the postseason. And I think they're going to need it, quite frankly, as I wrote earlier this week. They're going to need it because the defense, I think, you know, I wrote about this over the last month, but the pendulum, as I wrote a few months weeks ago, is starting to swing back. Now you add the loss of Ryan Shazier, which, no surprise, the Steelers threw on IR. And you've got some big holes to plug. And there's nobody that should be expected to fill the shoes of Shazier. I mean, that's just not fair. He's a one-of-a-kind playmaker. I wrote about this too, but he's kind of like the new Troy Polamalu of this team, where he can do it all. He is a major, major blow. And, you know, I'm sure most people realize this, but those of you that don't, he's the quarterback of the defense. He's calling out the formations and the plays defensively. And that's not easy to replace, let alone his skills and his quickness and his just agility and everything that he adds physically. That's all gone now. And we already knew that. And there's, you know, no reason to be surprised by that because how great he is. But now it's time to see who can step in and at least help try to fill in those shoes, because at least for one night, Sean Spence and Arthur Motes just, they didn't get it done. And it actually concerns me, and I know that Matakevich is injured as well, but it concerns me that the Steelers had to go out and get Sean Spence off the street. But what's even more concerning to me is that he was starting the very week that they plucked him off the street. This guy was released by the Indianapolis Colts, people. So just think about that. That is not what I wanted to see. I'm okay with the signing of him. I actually like Spence. I think he's got some value on the bench and to come in for some plays, but I don't want to see him starting. And that speaks of the lack of depth. And again, Matakevich was injured. I get it, but I'm a little concerned about that. Now, I personally still believe that James Harrison, who's not an inside linebacker, but I believe he should be playing even more than he did on Sunday night against the Ravens. I think he has the disruptive ability. And I'm sure you all heard where Tomlin basically said that the era of the linebacker is changing. You have to be able to do multiple things like rush the passer and drop in coverage. And that's why Harrison has lacked the playing time this year. I mean, that may be true, and I'm not going to argue that. However, what I would say is James Harrison was your leading sack master in 2016. I don't think he's fallen off that much to the point where he's not active. Now, he was on Sunday night. I actually do think because of the Shazier injury, he will be moving forward. He specifically said he doesn't think he'll be back next year, and he certainly wouldn't have signed this year had he known he wasn't going to play. But I would play him. I think he's a starting outside linebacker on this team if you move Bud Dupree, who I would try, on the inside. I know Dupree hasn't played there, but I think he's got some potential there. And I would give it a shot because the Patriots, as we talk about this game coming up, they're going to be a handful offensively. And we need to be able to stop the run, because they're definitely going to be passing the ball. And not only are they going to be passing the ball, they're going to be passing it to a guy that wasn't in the game this week for them, Rob Gronkowski. And I'm curious to see who's going to stop him from the Steelers side of things. I think that Shazier would have been that guy had he been healthy. And I don't want to sit here and beat on this because we know what the situation is there. But who is it going to be? Who's going to drop back? And I don't know. I mean, is it going to be Vince Williams? I don't think the Steelers really have anybody that can cover Gronkowski, quite frankly. And so I think he's going to be a danger this week. But then the other guy that I think is going to be a danger, and I've seen some people discussing this already, but Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis, out of that backfield, whether he's running the ball or, you know, kind of like the Le'Veon Bell, catching the ball. He's not Le'Veon Bell, but you know what I'm saying as far as catching the ball. He's a threat, and I could see him causing the Steelers fits defensively. The key to the Steelers defensively is they need to rush Brady often, and they need to get to him often. He's not that good. Well, I shouldn't say he's not that good. He's not as good when he's under pressure, and that's what they need to do. But really, what I'm concerned about is this secondary. I was really not happy to see the lack of play out of that secondary against what really, up until last week, was an abysmal Ravens offense. And Joe Flacco, by the way, was not having a good season for basically all of the season. And he looked very good against them. I mean, they got burned pretty bad. You know, Sensabaugh didn't look good at all. Artie Burns isn't looking that great lately, and I'm starting to think that he's not quite the number one corner that I thought he was earlier in the year. I still love his upside. I still think he's going to be a very, very good corner, but I don't know that he's a number one guy consistently just yet. He's the Steelers' number one, but I don't know that he's a number one just yet. They desperately need Joe Hayden back. Tomlin said they're going to talk about him practicing this week, so that could be a good sign. Whether or not he plays, I guess we'll see. But they could really use him back. If he doesn't play, I think Cam Sutton should get the start opposite of Burns. I'm done with Sensabaugh as far as a starter is concerned. I'm done. He's just burned too often. Sean Davis, I am souring on him very rapidly. I've always been high on him since the beginning of last season as a rookie. I thought he was progressing nicely. I'm seeing a sophomore slump out of him. I see some stupid plays. I see blown coverages. And I mean, there was one play, and I don't recall who it was now, but he went on the tackle, and he just didn't wrap him up. He didn't use his arms. And the guy just shook him and off for a touchdown. And I wish I could articulate that a little bit better, but I don't remember the exact play off the top of my head. But I remember that particular moment in time standing out where Davis literally did not even open his arms to make the tackle. He just led with his shoulder and the guy went right by him. That can't happen. He's getting some penalties that he shouldn't get. And I mean, I don't say that he needs to be taken out of the game, but I don't trust him right now. And he ranks very, very low on the Pro Football Focus rankings. And that's a concern as well. You know, Mike Mitchell is what he is. I'll take him. He does some things that I don't like. And he gets burned sometimes as well. But, you know, on the secondary, especially in the safeties, he's not the main issue there. But I do fear Brady torching these guys. When I've seen Jacoby Brissett and Brett Hundley and now a lesser version of Joe Flacco toss the ball around on these guys like it's nobody's business, that concerns me when a guy like Brady comes into town. And not for nothing, the Patriots lost to the Dolphins this week, and everybody wants to celebrate that. I'm not. I think that's a bad thing. Do you really think they're going to drop two in a row? Do you really think the Patriots are going to drop two in a row? I don't. I just don't. If the Steelers were to win this game this week, and the Patriots know this, then they all but assure themselves of the number one seed, barring a disaster to the Texans or the Browns. They basically lock up the number one seed. And they do lock up the fact that the Patriots cannot tie them at that point. So they will own any tiebreaker over the Patriots if the Steelers do win this game this week. The Patriots, of course, know that. But even more importantly for the Patriots, and for the Steelers for that matter, is if the Steelers were to win out, including this game against New England, and Jacksonville were to win out, Jacksonville would actually hold the tiebreaker over New England. And they would slip into the two seed, with the Steelers being the one seed, meaning the Patriots would fall to the three. And they would have to play that first round in the playoffs. And then that could be against either the Ravens or the Chargers when I do some of the playoff calculations on the ESPN playoff machine. And I don't think they want to face either of those teams, quite frankly. I mean, not to mention they don't want the extra game, obviously. Neither do the Steelers. So in that regard, it did mean some stuff. However, because I think the Patriots are going to go in and I do think they're going to beat the Steelers, those don't matter. And in that case, the Steelers will lose the tiebreaker to New England and most likely fall to the two seed. Now, should they lose another game or so, and become tied with Jacksonville, then the Steelers lose that tiebreaker to Jacksonville. So that's not to be lost in all of this. Don't think that would happen. I think the Steelers most likely get a bye and are the two seed, and then they'll win their first game, have to go to New England to go to the Super Bowl. And that's what I think is going to happen. I've said that from the get-go. I said that in the summer. I thought the Steelers were going to lose this Patriot game at home, but I think they go into New England in January and get it done. I will stick with that. The loss of Shazier really kind of shakes me a little bit with that, but that's what I'm going to stick with. So I don't think the Steelers are going to win this week. The key, though, of course, is to rush Brady. And then, as I wrote, I think the Steelers, the best defense right now is their offense. I think they need to get out there. They need to have Le'Veon Bell carry the ball 30 times and control the clock. I don't think the Steelers need to go out there and try to score 40 points. And the defense might dictate that that's what they need to do. But I'm saying if the Steelers control the clock and methodically move down the field for 6, 7, 8 minute drives, and then obviously cap them off with touchdowns, I think that's their best chance to win, because I don't want to see Brady on that field very often throwing it to Gronk or Deion Lewis or any of his other guys. I think that if you can keep him off the field, and then obviously you're going to have to pressure him and stop him a couple of times too, but I do believe that that's your better chance to win. Now, that may mean you're in a close game late. It probably does mean that. But I'd rather do that, because if you get into one of these 30 and 40 point shootouts, you know, the Steelers can score with anybody. They might have the most prolific offense in the game, but they're entitled to an off day. And I don't think you want to have that happen against the wrong team at the wrong time. And so if you try to manage that game and manage that clock, that's your best bet. Now, I'm hearing and seeing that a lot of people expect the Steelers to be in a spread offense because the Patriots have a similar defense in that they can be shredded up a little bit as well. And that may be true, but I'm of the line of thinking that that's not the best idea. I just don't think it is. I would really, really consider just the two wides, putting Le'Veon in the backfield and taking your chances that way, at least in the beginning. Now, the other key to all this is both Haley and Butler better learn to make adjustments, because you know that Belichick and McDaniels and company are going to do so on their side. And we saw it last year in the playoffs specifically, where they just don't make adjustments. And when the Patriots come out in that spread offense, which they probably will, the Steelers can never stop it. They can never stop it. Well, they damn well better figure out how to stop it. And if it's not going to be this week, then it's going to have to be in the playoffs, because they're on a collision course to play twice. They just are. But they need to use this game this week as the dress rehearsal. They need to figure out the Patriots' tendencies, and then they need to recognize how to adjust to them and try those adjustments out this week. In the grand scheme of things, this game may cost you home field throughout, but it doesn't bounce you out of the playoffs. The Steelers are the only team in the AFC that have actually clinched a playoff spot by winning the AFC North already. They have a very good chance of having the bye with the number two seed because I expect them to win their final two games. So use this game as a barometer and as a test to see what can we do that will stop the Patriots and also learn what doesn't work if they haven't already. And I suspect that they haven't. They're very stubborn when it comes to playing the Patriots. And Belichick, I don't like the guy, but you know what? I credit him. He's probably the best coach of all time, even with the cheating, you know, scandals and all that. The guy makes adjustments, in-game adjustments. He attacks your weaknesses, and he makes sure to limit your strengths. Well, the weakness is the defense, and specifically the secondary, and he's going to be spreading the ball all around, like he always does against the Steelers. That's what he's going to attack, and he can easily put up 40 in this game if he wanted to. The Ravens just put up 38, so don't tell me that they can't. The Patriots can't put up 40. I don't care what they did in Miami. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to try to limit your strength. And Le'Veon Bell, to me, is that number one guy. But I think Belichick's going to go after Brown. Because if he takes Brown out of the game, the passing game falls way back. And that's where Martavis Bryant's going to have to step up. And Juju Smith-Schuster's going to have to step up. And then, you know, you got to give the ball to Le'Veon. If Le'Veon controls the clock, as I said, you've got your best chance to win. And, you know, if we have to put it on Boswell's foot at the end in a 24-21 style of game or a 21-18 style of game or something like that, then so be it, because I trust him. He is the fourth killer bee. There's no debating that anymore. So, that said, I do think the Steelers look better than normal against the Patriots. I think they're going to have something to play for, but I don't think they win. Despite what I'm asking for is a lower scoring game. I'm not saying, you know, 12-9, but I'm thinking, you know, something in the 20s. I don't think that's how it's going to go because I think that the Steelers are a little bit stubborn there. So I think it's going to have to be a high scoring affair. I don't think they win. I think the Patriots end up dropping 35 on the Steelers, maybe 38. The Steelers score somewhere around 28. So I'm going to give New England a win. I'm going to give them a 38-28 win. They jump to the number one seed. The Steelers fall to the two seed. They win their following two games, which we'll discuss in the coming weeks. And then these teams will meet again. And that's what I've been saying since August, and I'll stick with that. It's not what I want, but at the same time, I think that all of Steeler Nation needs to recognize that if that does happen, it's not the end of the world. I do think the Steelers, specifically offensively, are capable of going into New England in January and winning. Did not think that last year. I do this year. And I just think that that's how it's going to set up. So I'll go New England 38, Pittsburgh 28. Hopefully we'll go with something different, but that's what I see happening. We'll talk next week, hopefully after another Steelers win.